ladies and gentlemen, we are here. This is the Warrior Catholic Show, and I'm Chris Ricketts, your host. We're a Catholic show, a proud partner of ConservativeNationRadio.org. Got a great show lined up for you tonight. If you want to be a part of the program, however, please call in at 718-305-7176. Yep, there's a lot to talk about tonight. I know there's been a lot of news today with the latest from our fearless leader, President Obama, talking about our guns. But before we get to that, don't worry, we're going to get into it. Before we get to that, we have a wonderful guest on tonight. She is the foundress of the Guiding Star Project, and she's going to tell you all about it. She also is a proponent, a spokeswoman of what she's calling the new feminism. Now, I don't know about you, but when I hear the word feminist, it's kind of like, ooh, ouch. I think of kind of this image of angry women who hate men and everything masculine, while at the same time trying to emulate those qualities. That's what comes to mind for me. So Leah here has a different vision for feminism, and a totally more holistic one. So Leah, thanks for being on the program tonight.
Thanks for having me, Chris. It's great to be here.
Absolutely. Now this is the second time you're coming on, so you're a glutton for punishment, I suppose.
Well, I just had so much fun with you last time, and we chatted your ear off, and we had so much more to say, so it's time to come back and do it again.
She knows how to talk, folks. That's great. All right, so tell us about the Guiding Star Project. What are you doing with it?
Awesome. Guiding Star Project is basically it's a nonprofit organization that we incorporated this past summer, about 5 to 6 years of work in my hometown of Duluth, Minnesota. We had kind of had this idea and this vision of taking a different approach to pro-life ministry, taking a little bit more of a holistic approach in the idea that being pro-life is being a little bit more whole life. It's not just necessarily abortion and euthanasia, those kind of big hot-button issues, but a pro-life, a truly pro-life community, a life-affirming community is going to provide just resources around family life and around motherhood and around fatherhood. And so we started to try to pull together nonprofit organizations in that city, groups that were already existing. And, you know, we had our ups and our downs and our days where we recognize that there are definitely challenges to working together in this fight. But ultimately what kind of came out of that was this passion to see these groups work together all across the country. Because I became more convinced in the time that I was working in Duluth that this is not only something that's possible, but it's something that's essential for true cultural change. We really need to complete that picture of what a life-affirming society looks like. It's not just great crisis pregnancy centers. They do a lot, and they have their place, but they need to be working in connection with great natural family planning clinics and, you know, doctors, doulas, midwives, lactation consultants, child care agencies. You know, there's so many more pieces to this puzzle. And so the Guiding Star Project, our goal is that we're going to be working with communities all across the country that express interest in this sort of cooperation and collaboration, that we'll work with them and we'll guide them through the process of starting up a super center, a pro-life, pro-family, pro-motherhood, new feminism super center that includes all these elements, all these different things that these nonprofit organizations can offer. They're all going to meet in one convenient location. And really, truly, this is what will be able to compete with the Planned Parenthoods, with these large, you know, abortion centers and current women's health centers. We want to provide a true woman's health, authentic femininity, what women truly need to be healthy and happy sort of center. So that's our goal, and that's our mission.
Wow, so that's a great, well, a huge
undertaking.
Sorry,
I just kind of talk, but
no, it's great.
Yeah, it's a big dream, but we're on our way.
No, that's great. And it sounds like, you know, you're actually offering a whole array of choices. As opposed to, here, abort your child and go on contraception, or we'll refer you to someone else.
Yep, no, absolutely. that's one of the key elements to these centers, is that we really want to have, you know, adoption services. And if a woman decides she wants to even potentially give birth within one of our centers, we would love to have alternative birthing centers within these spaces that they can, you know, come in right from their first pregnancy test. When they find out they're pregnant, they can meet with a midwife or a doula on site, have their ultrasound immediately, and stay in the comfort of this community, this family, through their whole pregnancy and birth and beyond, you know, even afterwards, coming back and using the facility for family planning with natural family planning, and using the drop-off child care within the center to take some time to meet with their practitioners and midwives. And just these centers should really support true, you know, what a young woman transitioning into motherhood, or what a young family transitioning into, you know, family life, what they really need.
Mm-hmm.
And we know right now that families are often isolated, just kind of the geographics of families right now in the United States. Very few of us have mom or dad within a, you know, within a half hour. Many of us live several states away from our family, from close friends, and there really isn't much support. And so you maybe you're not even a pro-choice person. Maybe you're not even someone that would be thinking about abortion, but all of a sudden, you know, maybe you've had two kids and you're pregnant again unexpectedly, even though you're not typically the kind of person that you'd think would consider an abortion. That is a crisis pregnancy in some, in a very real sense. And so if we can fill the simple needs of childcare for the other kids so that they can get to their appointments, sometimes that's the only thing a woman needs. She just needs to know someone can watch her kids so she can go to appointments. Well, that's pretty simple. Let's just have a drop-off daycare next to your midwife office. We can do that. If that's all you need, we can help you.
Now, that's a great service, because, I mean, yeah, absolutely. It is a struggle when you know you've got 18 different things to do, and you know the kids are at home and they need somewhere to go, and I can totally understand that. So, Leah, when you were – what prompted you to start this whole thing? I mean, it's obviously a big undertaking, and you've made some great strides. What inspired you in the first place to even attempt something like this?
Well, actually, it was never something that I had in my mind as wanting to do. I've never wanted to start a nonprofit. That was never something in the plans. After I had my second child, I had just had difficult pregnancies, and I was just really getting interested in natural birth and being very pro-life. I thought, well, you know, maybe I can become a midwife and, like, offer my services to women in crisis pregnancies. And so that was kind of how I was thinking that I could serve the pro-life movement. And so I applied for nursing school. I was accepted into nursing school. I was all set to go back. And then I went to Adoration one night at the little perpetual Adoration chapel near my home. And I was just, you know, praying and kind of talking to Jesus about my plans and what I was hoping to do for him. And wouldn't he be so proud of me because I was going to do this for him? And and he just kind of said no. And it was a really difficult conversation for me, because I just kept hearing, you know, that, you know, when you know that God is saying something and you just want to, like, pretend that maybe it's you just thinking it and, like, second guessing it. So you keep trying to kind of rationalize and justify and walk your way around what you're hearing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was exactly what I was doing. And I did that for quite a while. And so the first thing I was really hearing in Adoration was, no, you're not meant to start nursing school next week, which was not an easy thing to hear at all. But I have my books, but I'm all registered, but I'm, you know. And so then the next thing, finally, when I kind of came to peace with that and just opened myself up and said, okay, Lord, then what am I supposed to do? Then all of a sudden, it was like there's this flood of inspiration in Adoration, and it was something I never, ever would have dreamed of. And it was basically the vision for Guiding Star Center. It was taking all of my experiences of my difficult pregnancies and just melding them together with my hours and sidewalk counseling and just seeing what the arguments against the pro-life movement were. And by the time I left that chapel that night, it was pretty late. It was a couple hours in there. I had a little notebook with me, and I just scribbled all sorts of thoughts. And it was just very, very clear that this was not something that was my own. It was never my idea. It was something that God revealed to me through my life experience and through my openness to hearing what he wanted to use me for in this world. And I definitely fought it. I didn't want to do it because I didn't know how to do it. It was,
mm-hmm.
I still don't know how to do it necessarily. And it's one small step at a time. And the very first step was I got home and I kind of broke the news to my husband, like, all right, I don't think I'm going to nursing school, honey. and kind of broke it to him, and he was, you know, loving and kind and accepting of that. And he said, I think you need to go talk to our good friend who's a priest. And so we went and had dinner with him about a week later, and I really thought that this would be kind of, I thought he would give me an out. I thought he would just kind of say, that's nice, but would maybe say, you know, sometimes we hear things that God doesn't say. That was kind of what I was hoping. It was so hard. But no, he just said, you just need to start. And if there's progress and if there's fruit, then you know that God is blessing it. And that's just kind of been the mantra. That was how it started. We just started very slowly, and every little success was just a sign of God's blessing and a sign of just continue to move forward, one baby step at a time. As long as you don't stop moving, this will happen. As long as you don't freeze, it will come to be. So just keep moving.
That's a really inspiring story, your humility in stepping back from what you wanted to do and submitting to God. That's totally a very difficult thing to do. If you just tuned in, this is the Warrior Catholic Show on conservativenationradio.org. You're listening to Leah Jacobson, the foundress of the Guiding Star Project. If you want to be a part of the program, if you have a question or something, please call in at 718-305-7176. Not only has the year changed, by the way, but there are also changes that have come to conservativenationradio.org. We started on the 13th, moved all of our shows Monday through Thursday to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 6 p.m. Central. But like the true anchors they are, Michael Smith and Bing Fisher will still be with us for Soldiers of Patriotism Sundays at 4 p.m. Eastern and 3 p.m. Central. It's a new year and a new schedule on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. So, anyways, Leah, what were the first steps you took? You had to find some people that were willing to go along with it. How do you convince people? Hey, I got this thing I want to do. Join me. How did you work on that?
Yeah, that's actually really kind of interesting because I didn't see myself as necessarily the leader of this effort. I kind of originally saw myself as just, a little bit of a visionary. Like, you can have a vision and then hand it on to somebody who's capable of leading it, because I didn't feel like I had the gifts or the ability to lead this. And so, you know, I met with this priest and I shared it with him, and he just said, well, move forward. And so then I kind of said, okay, well, help me, Father. Like, you do it, and I do it, start it, like kind of hand it to him, which I should have known right away that wasn't going to happen. But he did actually make a call to one of his parishioners, who was a former hospital administrator at a very large hospital. And she just happened to think, you know what, this is something that resonates. I understand this from my position in hospital administration. I can see the needs that this would fill. And so she decided to come on as basically my first board member. And so within a few months, I think it was, we had a few meetings just among her and some of her friends, and then this priest and some other people he had thought, and I had a few of my friends that I kind of shared the message with, and we had a few just kind of roundtable discussions about what is this, like, is this, what do we want this to be, what's the name of it, you know, what are we doing? And within about a year, we had formed a basic organization. We didn't officially or legally incorporate at that time, but I kind of was still that hesitant leader. I kind of just kept wanting someone else to lead this, and they all just kind of kept pushing me forth and nominating and electing me as board chair, and me just saying, no, I've got kids, I can't do this. I tried several times. I didn't want to do this. It wasn't for me. I didn't get it.
Hold that thought, Leah. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll keep going with that, okay?
Yep, no problem.
We're taking a quick break, folks. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this.
Foreclosure is hard on every member of the family, but your family is not alone. If you're struggling with your mortgage, there is help. To learn about the government's Making Home Affordable program, visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE to speak to a HUD-approved housing counselor. It's free of charge. Visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE today. Brought to you by the...
Your own damn country for a change.
And we're back. This is the Warrior Catholic Show on conservativenationradio.org. Please call in if you have a question for Leah Jacobson, our guest for this evening, the founders of the Guiding Star Project. The number is 718-305-7176. Okay, Leah, so you were telling us a little bit about the progression here, and you were the reluctant leader. So were we?
Basically I just kind of tried to hide from this for a really long time, and at some point it kind of just came to the point of if you're not going to lead, don't be part of it. Just get out of it if you're not going to just do it, because the vision is very clearly something that was given to me in terms of I understand how this is supposed to look, what this is supposed to be. And so it's kind of been humbling for me in a sense to accept that and to just say, I need to do this. I need to take on this project and just give it my heart. And that's difficult. You know, we're a homeschooling family of five little kids, and this is definitely something that takes time. And so it's been a difficult balance. You know, you always will have critics of on every side. You know, I'll have the friends that say, oh, that's, you know, you're taking too much time away from your kids, or you shouldn't be doing anything. You know, you get those critics, and you get the critics obviously on the pro-choice side and friends there that are saying this is just a waste of time. And so regardless, I know that God placed something on my heart and in my mind, you know, about 6 years ago now, and it's just, I'm not going to give it up, and I'm not going to stop, because I know that He intends these centers to be, and they will be, and I'll be very happy that day when we open our first center and we can say, thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Absolutely. So, well, you know, I really got to say I admire your faith and your willingness to set aside your own desires to follow what God has placed in your heart, because I think it takes a special kind of person to be able to recognize that and actually do it. And God, I always seem to fight Him tooth and nail on everything, and I always find that if I let go, He has something always greater for us than we could have imagined. So I think you're a true testimony to that.
It is funny though, because He won't reveal what that greater thing is until you finally let it go. The other,
exactly,
because that night in adoration was a perfect example of that. Just wrestling with Him, and finally I was like, fine, I surrender, and it was almost immediate. Just okay, and it was this beautiful vision immediately, and I was excited and terrified all at once, but you just have to let whatever it is go.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right, so with these Guiding Star centers, how do you propose, you're a nonprofit, so are these services going to be offered free to people, or are you going to work with insurances? How is that going to work?
Well, you know, the jury's still out in terms of the final funding of each individual center, but basically how it looks is that it'll be a building, you know, one building, kind of a mini mall concept where several individual organizations all have space. And so those organizations within the building don't all have to be non-profit, not for-profits. They can also include health services, clinic space, doctors, who obviously would charge for their services and would likely contract with insurance companies to do that. Not necessarily, though. There's a few models that we've looked at with private clinics where physicians handle basically health share co-ops. That's an idea that's kind of floating around for as to how to make the medical practices work within the building. But then also part of the vision is to have a coffee shop kind of deli within the space, and that obviously as well would be something that would bring in revenue.
Sure.
And so the financial model is based on mixing from for-profit with non-profits to help cover the costs of the building. And so all of the tenants, all of the members of a Guiding Star Center will adhere to a philosophy statement. They'll all sign a statement, you know, that they're philosophically aligned with one another, And with that comes a very strong referral and networking relationship within the center. And so we have, that's one of the biggest elements of this Prior to a Center opening, is that these organizations and groups form a strong sense of trust and even friendship with each other, because they need to recognize that the services they provide, while very important, are not the entire picture, and that
right.
they need to be able to refer out for the things that are beyond their scope.
Well, Leah, I hate to interrupt you, but we have a caller here, and
yeah.
I think it's someone you would know. Let me bring this caller on real quick. Unmuting
okay.
now. All right. Hello, you're on the Warrior Catholic Show.
Hi, my name is Laura.
I know.
Okay.
Hi, Laura.
Hi. I guess I can't call anonymously. I was toying with the idea of telling you my name was like Miss Jane and using a funny accent, but. I guess I've been outed. I can't do that.
That would have been awesome.
Next time.
For sure.
The question I was really going to ask, and I'm assuming Chris probably would have gotten to it, but I was hoping you would explain, if somebody wanted to bring a Guiding Star Center to their community, what they would have to do, and if they would have to be a professional already, or if they would have to really, really know what they were doing from the outset before they contacted Guiding Star in some way. Or is it possible for somebody who says, hey, I really like this idea, I really want to see this in my community, but I don't really know how to do it. Is it possible for somebody like that to get something started? So I was hoping
That's a great question. Thank you so much, Laura. Anybody. We want anybody right now. We're kind of at that point where we're just preparing all of our guiding documents, our manual, our process of guiding different people, different communities into starting these centers. And so right now we're just really open and interested in anyone who might have the passion and the interest to start the process in their city. You might be kind of like me and not feel like you're meant to lead it, but maybe you're meant to start it in your community. And that's great, because what our job is as Guiding Star Project is that we are here to provide the resources, the necessary paperwork and all that stuff and vision to come to your community and help you explain this and help you work on pulling the organizations together in your community. So there aren't really any, you know, major prerequisites for anybody, but it is helpful if you're involved in the pro-life movement in your community. That's very helpful if you are active in at least one or two, and that you are aware of all of the different organizations in your community and how they could work together and have just, even if you don't have relationships to begin with, but be willing to maybe help us help you establish relationships so we can start getting these people together. But if you're interested in it, you can go to our website, which is www.theguidingstarproject.com, and you can fill out the contact form there. You can shoot us an email. We also have a Facebook page. It's just The Guiding Star Project on Facebook, and you can message us there privately, and we will get back to you. We'll get in touch with you, and we'll get you started on this process. The very first kind of steps are pretty simple. They're kind of exploratory steps to see if your community is an ideal community for one of these centers. And then we'll provide the support through phone calls, emails, weekly meetings. And then as things seem like they might really be developing, you know, we would even consider traveling to your city to help host some events and possible fundraisers to really get it off the ground. So you don't have to be you know, the great leader that you think is necessary. As long as you're willing to take those baby steps, we'll help you through it.
Okay.
Does that answer it at all?
It does. And if I perhaps was someone who wanted to support the efforts of the Guiding Star Project but knew that my community wasn't going to be receptive to this kind of thing, but I still wanted to help, is there a place I could make donations? Does Guiding Star want that kind of support? If I know I can't open a center, and I know I'm not being called to bring one to my area, how else can I help in some some way.
Well, of course, money donations are always going to be appreciated and accepted very gratefully. You can make donations on our website. Again, there's an electronic little PayPal thing. You can use your credit card to make a donation to us if you'd like to do it that way. Or else there's also our mailing address is also on there. And you can just write a check out and stick a check in the mail to us. And they are, you know, we are a nonprofit, so it's good for your taxes to make good donations to us. We would really appreciate that. But, you know, even beyond money, right now we're really trying to share this vision and spread it. And so if you are involved in social media or blogging or writing or any sort of radio shows, anything that is able to help spread the message, we'd be very interested in working with you in those ways. That would be a really wonderful service that you could help us out with.
Awesome.
Is there any other?
Thank you. I don't think I have any more questions. I think I have a clear picture. I don't need to be a rocket scientist if I wanted to get something like this started. And it sounds like the Guiding Star Project really supports its future affiliates every step of the way. So I think that gives me
a
lot of confidence.
We definitely hope to. And, you know, there is a chance that you could say, I really want one of these in my town, and then we come and do a little bit of a feasibility study. We say, you know, this might not be good for your city. Like, this might not be yet. Like, now might not be the time. So that might be what comes back. But there are still ways that we'd like to keep you involved and in communication with us, because some cities might not be able to start out with the center right away, and we might be able to just start out a pro-life collaborative or something. Like, maybe we can help your community organize and create, like, a networking, like a referral method within your city, and help you identify like-minded organizations and other professionals that you can refer to in good conscience. And simple things like that are definitely part of our mission and part of our model, because we just know that we're so much stronger together, and that when we start tying these together is when we're going to finally see true cultural change.
Oh, very good. Well, thanks for calling in. Appreciate
that.
Thank you. Okay. All right, very good.
I love that lady.
I share the sentiment.
that's good.
In case anyone's a little confused by that, the caller actually was my wife, who is also the executive director for the Guiding Star Project. So,
full disclosure, she's pretty amazing.
I told her to give a shout out if she was so inclined. So, anyways, all right. Well, we got about a minute and a half till the break. I really think it's an awesome vision that's unfolding here, and especially because you want to rival Planned Parenthood, and anyone that wants to do that is A-OK in my book. Have you got any, any adverse reaction yet from that side of the aisle?
You know, I think at this point, they haven't really given us a ton of notice yet, which, you know, I'm fine with that for right now, because we're still kind of catching our footing and preparing all of our strategy and marketing and documents, but I want to be ready to go, but we're expecting at some point that this isn't going to be so easy and pretty. So we're expecting
right.
It. It'll come.
Absolutely. Now, all you got to do is go online and in one of those websites and just say, hi, I'm pro-life, and then you can wait to get pounced on appropriately. So,
especially when you say, hi, I'm a feminist. I'm pro-life.
Well, that's true, too. I was recently reading an article. I forget where online it was, but it was talking. It was a whole article written by a woman completely trashing the entire concept of pro-life feminism. So, all right.
Yep.
Well, it's about time to go on a break. But when we come back, we will talk about Leah's vision for the new feminism and why it's, in my opinion, a much better presentation than the current one we have. So, anyways, don't go away. We'll be right back. More with Leah Jacobson after this.
Good afternoon. For Talk Radio News Service, I'm Jeff Holtzman. President Obama called Wednesday for Congress to approve new bans on military-style assault weapons and high-capacity ammunition clips in response to a string of deadly mass shootings. At a White House event today, the president unveiled an expansive plan that includes legislation and 23 executive actions the White House said could be put into place immediately. The president asked Congress to reinstate and strengthen the assault weapons ban and to impose a 10-round limit on ammunition magazines. He also called on Congress to require criminal background checks for all gun sales.
If there's even one thing we can do to reduce this violence, if there's even one life that can be saved, then we've got an obligation to try.
The president also lobbied Congress to approve a law against so-called straw purchasing of guns, toughen gun trafficking laws, and authorize new funding for gun violence research. In all, the White House estimates that the president's requests would total in the neighborhood of $500 million in the coming fiscal year. Jeff Holtzman, Talk Radio News Service, Washington.
Go, Caleb!
Come on, hit a homer, Jesse!
Let's go, guys!
Hey, did you guys know that kids who play sports earn more money when they grow up?
Of course. I knew that.
Hey, did you guys know that kids who read books have a bigger vocabulary?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Wow, jinx. Did you guys know that friendly children have more friends?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's true. I knew that. Did you guys know that winter babies are better at music?
Everyone knows that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, pretty obvious.
Yeah.
Obvious.
Oh, hey, guys. Did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
Huh. I didn't know that.
I'm pretty sure I knew that.
I'm pretty sure you didn't.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
And we're back. This is the Warrior Catholic Show on conservativenationradio.org. I am Chris Ricketts, your host. If you want to be a part of the program, please call in at 718-305-7176. We're talking with Leah Jacobson, the foundress of the Guiding Star Project, a awesome organization that has a vision of creating comprehensive women's health centers that offers actual choices and options, not just as far as pregnancy, but as far as health in general. And they want to rival Planned Parenthood. So, again, this is Leah Jacobson, and she has a vision for feminism that goes against the current train of thought regarding that. So, Leah, tell us about New Feminism.
Oh, New Feminism. Well, first of all, I can't call it my New Feminism because that would be an awful disservice. New Feminism, since this is a Catholic show, I'm willing to kind of just share this and out it a little bit where the source of this term actually comes from. With a more of a secular audience, we kind of skip over this because it tends to be less attractive when they realize that this came from a pope. So,
uh-oh.
Yeah, this was John Paul II, actually. John Paul II used the term New Feminism back about, gosh, was it 1995, I believe? He used this term in a really beautiful quote where he calls for women. He says that in the transformation of culture so that it supports life. So in other words, to create a life-affirming culture, the women of the church have a special, unique action, and that's to promote a new feminism. And he uses the term in quotes, new feminism, which rejects temptations to imitate models of male domination.
Mm-hmm.
So he kind of right there is a little bit of a jab, if you hear it there, at the radical feminists of the 1970s, because he says rejects the temptation to imitate models of male domination, which is a little bit what those feminists, you know, from that era kind of did. They kind of grasped at everything that was male, you know, every kind of thing that men were doing, they wanted to do too and prove they could do it better. And so he says that by rejecting that temptation to do that, you acknowledge and affirm the true genius of womanhood and of women in every aspect of society. And so John Paul II actually is the father of this new feminism idea.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really, really beautiful, beautiful concept.
So he pretty much said, if you want to be, I guess, quote unquote, equal with men, you don't try to be men.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's pretty much it. He talks about the idea of complementarity. And this goes back into his Theology of the Body writings, you know, his Wednesday audience talks from 1979 to 1984, which we now know as the Theology of the Body. in the first booklet of talks, he just talks about this idea of complementarity between man and woman, that we were created with these strengths and weaknesses that were meant to perfectly reflect the nature of the other, that, you know, man's strength will complement woman's physical weakness, you know, and that woman's empathy will complement man's, you know, tendency to not empathize, you know.
Unga, bunga.
So he just really pulls out those differences, and it's beautiful. It's really beautiful.
Oh, absolutely. He had a lot to say about that. And I think it's a much more, a Christian approach, and it's a scientific approach, too, to understand. And there's a Catholic psychotherapist, Dr. Phil Mango, I like to tell you, he talks a lot about, you know, you can find that God's design for women just in the differences between our bodies, and not just his design for us, but also his intent for us as well in fulfilling our capacities within our true selves.
Yeah, definitely. And the whole idea and the concept behind New Feminism is that, like you kind of had alluded to, that when you try to be a man, you waste your womanhood, that you were given these really beautiful, uniquely feminine gifts. And to just suppress them or, you know, alter them or try to wish them away, it's a waste of your essential being. And so we try with our Guiding Star concept and with promoting New Feminism, we're really trying to take the whole idea that we're going to build up women and empower them kind of through their natural, you know, appreciation for themselves naturally, you know, and kind of organically and holistically, like really aiming at that approach to women. It's not a religious, God made you equal to man, but yet you're different. We're not trying to take this theologically. Mm-hmm. We're trying to take a much more natural law, simplistic approach of, you know, this is just how amazingly beautiful you were made, and you do this very well naturally. So let's affirm that and recognize that.
Oh, absolutely. Now, we just saw, obviously, we just had our election last November, which was, it was devastating. But anyways.
It hurt.
Yeah, I know. It really did. But, you know, Obama really ran on, and the Democrats really pushed, they enshrined abortion and contraception as the epitome of freedom for women.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Obama was not held accountable for the economy or anything else. Because he very successfully diverted the conversation to the war on women from Republicans, and that they're against abortion and contraception, so they must be against women, which in my opinion is somewhat degrading since it reduces women mm-hmm. to just reproductive value.
Yeah,
What's your take on that?
Yeah, I think exactly what you were saying. I mean, it was a very clever political ploy to shift, you know, to divert attention from what the real issues were, what the things were that really were affecting women in our country, you know, the economy and other issues were really affecting women. This whole idea of, you know, access to contraception being threatened, I mean, that's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, contraception is available everywhere. It's available in our schools right now. It's available, you know, literally. It's very inexpensive. It's not in danger of ever being removed at this point. I think the whole thing was exactly like you said, very degrading. And so we, you know, we don't talk about it terribly much. We try to kind of stay out of the politics because this isn't a political organization in any way.
Right.
But we just see that worldview that the current administration is holding as just a real setback for women. It just that worldview that woman is somehow broken and that she's somehow insufficient and not enough, and that we need to fix her, and that this fixing, all it really is altering and suppressing healthy functions of her body. And mm-hmm. that, to me, it's downright criminal, you know, in the sense that you're not actually stepping forward to provide women with education or resources to provide, you know, to actually teach them about their fertility. And that was something that was just absolutely to me, it's utterly confusing when you look at the health services mandate and recognizing that they didn't have coverage for fertility education covered in there, but yet they had coverage for every fertility-destroying drug on the market.
Mm-hmm.
But there was nothing in there about actual education about fertility being covered. by insurance companies or by anybody. So it's, you can see that their whole focus is on what they believe, you know, the majority of women are going to want and vote for. And currently, the majority of women in our country have bought hook, line, and sinker this rhetoric from that old feminism, that radical feminism of the 1970s. You know, we call it second wave feminism. And they really control a lot of the media and Hollywood and universities, these feminists, and they kind of just tell women, this is what it means to be honored as a woman in our society, and this is what you want. And a lot of women, unfortunately, haven't taken the time to stop and say, is that what I want? Is that what's good for me? So
yeah.
Here we are. A war on women, I guess.
Apparently. I always find it ironic that, you know, nowadays we're moving towards the, you know, whole better foods. You know, we have the whole green movement out there, eating all natural, grass-fed, this, that, and the other thing. Take all the preservatives out of our food. But because all that stuff's bad for you. But it's okay to take a pill which puts hormones in your body that aren't supposed to be there, at least in that way.
Yeah.
That's kind of ironic to me.
It's unbelievably ironic. And, you know, and we're trying to appeal to that part of women, because women, I think, you know, intuitively, most women have an awareness of that. They know something is not right about our current model of, you know, women's freedoms, you know. And they know something's not right there, but it's just not being verbalized from the places where they normally are hearing, you know, about women's health. You know, second wave feminism did a bang-up job of, you know, pretty much getting the language across the board that if you are going to speak out against what they've defined and enshrined as women's health or women's rights, you're going to face the consequences. And so...
Oh, yeah.
It has to come from women. It has to come from us saying, we don't want that. We don't buy this. This is not good for us. So it's our job. Like John Paul II said, it is up to the women to step forward and reclaim a new feminism. We have to do this.
Oh, that's beautiful. This is Leah Jacobson on the Warrior Catholic Show on conservativenationradio.org. If you have a question for Leah, or have a comment, please feel free to call in at 718-305-7176. Now, you mentioned the second wave feminists and how they wrought destruction across the plains here. But what about the first wave of feminists? What was their take on abortion and contraception specifically?
Well, contrary to what a lot of second wave feminists try to say, there is actually some really great evidence out there that the first wave feminists were not only like sort of pro-life, but they were very pro-life. There are a lot of quotes from Susan B. Anthony and even like Mary Wollstonecraft, and there's several of these proto-feminists is kind of what they – proto-feminist or first-wave feminist are what they're typically referred to as. These are the suffragists, the women that were pushing for the right to vote. And that's kind of what we call our first wave now. But they overwhelmingly said that it's women are treated as property currently, and what great disgrace to extend that to our children. Like, what an insult to say that our children are property that we can dispose of at free will. That's just how we're being treated. We can't do that to our children. And so there is a wonderful organization. They're called Feminists for Life. And if you're not familiar with them, you should definitely check them out, Feminists for Life. And they've kind of just taken it as their mission and goal to really share the history of the first wave feminists. Their website is chock full of these beautiful quotes and, you know, just powerful too. These women were not, they were not shy talking about this. And there's much evidence that they were very opposed to abortion, and not only abortion, but contraceptives as well at the time. They saw them as man's free ticket to the brothel, so they opposed that.
Absolutely. We're coming up on a break here, but I just want to say real quick on more interesting changes coming up on conservativenationradio.org. This Monday, January 14th, join Duke Brooks here at conservativenationradio.org for Radio Free America at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 6 p.m. Central. Duke lists anti-communist among his hobbies, which is probably why NBC didn't hire him to fly a national network news helicopter. But if you love history, politics, flying, and America, check out Duke Brooks on Radio Free America this Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern and 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. We're going to take a quick break right here, but when we come back, more with Leah Jacobson, the foundress of the Guiding Star Project. Don't go away.
You're so annoying.
Stop copying me.
Mom, tell her to stop copying me.
Mom, tell her to stop talking me.
Kids will spend 10 minutes copying everything their sibling says.
You're such a doofus.
You're such a doofus.
How about 2 minutes to brush their teeth? Brushing for 2 minutes now can save your child from severe tooth pain later. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. 2 minutes, twice a day. I have the time.
Mom!
A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ad Council.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
And we're back. This is the Warrior Catholic Show on conservativenationradio.org. I am Chris Ricketts, your host, and we are talking with Leah Jacobson about new feminism and how it can correct the swath of destruction that was brought on by the second wave feminists. If you want to be a part of the program, if you have a question for Leah or a comment, the number is 718-305-7176. Anyways, Leah, we're talking about kind of some history here, the first wave feminists and what they had to their original positions on life issues, contraception and abortion and whatnot.
Yeah, it's really interesting stuff when you start going back and looking at it. Something that's really interesting to just kind of be aware of when you know, we call it first, second, third wave feminism, but it's not really quite as clear as that. The term feminism wasn't really even coined until about the 60s. And so the first wave never called themselves feminists. You know, they were the suffragists and mm-hmm. working for women's right to vote and suffrage. And so the reasons, though, that they wanted this right to vote, basically it was protections of motherhood. They were trying to make sure that the family unit and that motherhood could be protected within the democracy, and they were just very concerned about family life and motherhood, and that was kind of a lot of what was driving their passions. And so they would never, ever, ever have fit the same agenda and motive of what comes to be known as second wave feminism, which really kind of began the late 40s and into the 1950s with Betty Friedan's Feminine Mystique is the book that really kind of find the beginning of that movement in 1963, and then the sexual revolution just took it all the way. But these first wave feminists, it's an important historical point to recognize that Margaret Sanger was starting her activism at that point, the early 1900s. She was starting up her first birth control clinics in 1916. She started publishing her The New Race, which is just a startling eugenics book in 1920. And so it's really important to recognize that she is not ever lumped in with the suffragists. They're never put in the same category. They're not friends. They don't have any association. They don't talk. There's no relationship really between Margaret Sanger's work on the birth control crusade and the first wave feminists on the suffrage crusade. And so for the second wave feminists to really say, to claim the success of these first wave feminists is really, it's really dishonest. It's really misleading to try to put them in the same camp because they're 1,000 miles apart. And many people don't recognize that. You know, they kind of lump all the successes of the suffragists, you know, well, if it weren't for feminism, we wouldn't be able to vote. Well, that's not true. That's definitely not true. They were completely separate social movements, just happened to be led by women. So, you know, the term feminism, it definitely has a very muddy origin and kind of a dirty background and connotation to it, but really it I believe truly that it can be reclaimed. And I think that John Paul II used that term new feminism for a reason. I think he knew what he was doing. He wants us to embrace what is feminine about us.
Well, he was certainly a brilliant man. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, he was. I don't think he made a mistake. I don't think there was a mistake there. I think he knew what he was saying.
Absolutely. Now, it's interesting that you pointed out there definitely is kind of a negative connotation. When one hears the word feminist, there's kind of like this cringe reaction in the room if the word is brought up. And this said feminist is given a lot of space, and no one contradicts anything she says for fear of screeching reprisals. But how do you plan on affecting that, what is now a deep-set kind of image at this point?
Well, you know, it's deep-set in a generation. You know, it doesn't take long for something to change. it might be a couple decades before it's completely been reclaimed, but it happens. You know, they took the suffragists, they took all the success of the suffragist movement, not even, you know, 40 years earlier, and completely subverted it into a new movement and claimed it as the roots of their movement when they had nothing to do with one another. And so it's possible that within a few decades that the term feminism will no longer be associated with that sort of ideology and thinking, you know, that sort of female supremacy kind of thought. It's possible, you know, and I think if we can put this out there lovingly and positively enough and make enough rational sense and not necessarily go up against the radical feminists, but try to kind of come in from the back door and try to help them to recognize the things that are in common with what we think in complementarity, and, you know, use that organic approach, use that holistic approach, however we can find common ground with them to slowly help them to see the fullness of new feminism. And, you know, there's always going to be diehards that won't move. There's going to be the people that are fully entrenched,
absolutely.
Most radicals, but you can't win. You can't win all of them. But I think the majority of women that identify as feminist right now really don't know even what that means. And so we can help them. We can help them into a better understanding.
Wow, that's, again, quite an undertaking, and I admire you for even wanting to do that. Well, we got about 8 minutes, but I want to ask you about, I understand you have a fundraiser and a concert coming up, next week?
Yeah, we've actually got two events coming up next week, a little over a week from now. Yeah.
All right.
They're exciting. Thanks for asking. about a year ago, we had held a fundraising event for a Catholic musician named Danielle Rose. Danielle is a music missionary, and she travels all around the world and shares the most beautiful faith and life-affirming music. And so we did this fundraising concert for her about a year ago to raise funds for her newest album. And it's called Culture of Life, and it's her fifth album. And it is done. The album, all of the recording, all of the CDs, everything, it's done. And so it's going to be released this weekend, on the anniversary of Roe v. Wade. So next week, actually, on the 22nd, it'll be released. And so we're going to be having a debut concert in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. So she's going to be flying in from Los Angeles to share the music live with the people of the Twin Cities first. And we're really excited about that event. And so if you're in the Minnesota area, please come to it. It would be wonderful to have you.
Is there a place where people can buy tickets or sign up?
Yeah, you know, there is. Our tickets are available online, and that link is a little difficult. So it's easiest just to go to our website again, www.theguidingstarproject. So there's a theguidingstarproject.com. And right on the home page, there is a picture off to the right-hand side of Danielle. And you click there, and you can get all the information and tickets purchased right online. And so very simple. We'd love to have you come. It would be great to share this album with you. And we're actually really excited about this album. I'm just going to share really quickly why we chose to sponsor a music album. Because, you know, we really are about culture and changing culture, and we recognize that sometimes cultural change comes from culture, from the arts, from music.
Yes.
And so yeah, we just thought this is a really different approach, you know, a musician that's singing about pro-life things, and this album definitely does that. So Danielle, as a music missionary, she has decided that for every album sold, that she will donate one copy of this album to a crisis pregnancy center or someplace that meets women in need, because the music on this album speaks directly to them in such a beautiful way. So
wow.
This is going to be a really great ministry.
Oh, that sounds amazing. I'm a musician, so I'm a little jealous at heart I know what it's like to go around on tour and perform for people. So it's really amazing to be able to have that opportunity.
Yeah, she's doing amazing things through her music, and so we're really excited to sponsor her. And so then also when she's in Minnesota, then she's going to kind of make a flying whirlwind trip, and she'll be heading up to Duluth from the Twin Cities. And she'll be doing a banquet for Guiding Star Duluth. Now, Guiding Star Duluth is it's a separate nonprofit from Guiding Star Project, but we are affiliated. So kind of how Guiding Star Project works is that we affiliate with cities. And Duluth is our very first city that we've affiliated with. And when we affiliate with a city, we try to support them and help them with raising funds and getting their community together into a center. And so Guiding Star Duluth, then, Danielle is heading from our project, the Guiding Star Project's event, to Guiding Star Duluth's event on Sunday in Duluth, Minnesota. And that event is really special because it's called Together for Life. And what it is it's all the area pro-life organizations together in one fundraising banquet. So all of the money from this event is split up and goes out to all the organizations in the community. So that is kind of the heart of the Guiding Star model in terms of recognizing all the players in a culture of life and supporting them all. So it gives community members a chance to see them all together and support them all at once.
Wow, well, I wish you the best of luck with that enterprise there. That sounds incredible. I wish I could get up to Duluth just to sit there and listen to the music.
Yeah, and it's a beautiful city too. So someday.
I'll take your word for it. I'd like to get up there eventually.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we got about a minute and a half. So what is there anything you'd like to say to wrap things up here?
Oh, goodness. I know you've got kind of a conservative listening base with conservative talk radio. And so if nothing about new feminism resonates, or if nothing about, the holistic approach to woman resonates, then the takeaway talking point for you as a conservative person would be that we're aiming to rival and to compete with Planned Parenthood. And so we hope that that's worthy of your support and your prayers. Just remember us and pray for us if you pray and do it often, because we've got a battle coming. And so we need all the help we can get.
Absolutely. No, we'll definitely keep you in our prayers here. And I'll also, if you're listening here, folks, get the word out, share that link, theguidingstarproject.com. If you can make a donation, that would be great. They are looking to do great things. And Leah has made some personal sacrifices to do what she's doing. And, I think that's very much worthy of our support and our prayers, and if possible, our financial support as well. So, Leah, I really appreciate you taking the time to be with us tonight, and it's always good to have you on. And, again, don't be a stranger.
Thank you so much, Chris. This is such a wonderful opportunity. I appreciate it.
All right, and enjoy the rest of the evening. Thank you so much.
Thank you. God bless.
All right, you too. Bye-bye. All right, folks. Coming up next, in the next hour, we're going to talk about guns. That's right. We're going to talk about what President Obama got up there to say today and why it's outrageous. And got a lot of news to cover about all that. So your calls and all the news right after this little break that we're about to take. And don't go away.
When a call for a medic went out, Alan left a covered position to run to render aid. That was when he was hit.
The bullet struck him on the right side between his body armor.
Say a prayer for peace.
Alan was one of the first wounded warriors to come out of Iraq in 2003. I'm Trace Adkins, and I want to tell you about Wounded Warrior Project and how they helped this brave young man and his family.
There was life in his eyes, but everything else was non-responsive.
The doctors anticipated that Alan would be bedridden and need to be spoon-fed for the rest of his life.
The job of helping wounded warriors rebuild their lives is massive and growing every day. Your gift of just $19 a month will help wounded warriors like Alan, who refuse to give up.
I'm in the fields of Vietnam, the mountains of Afghanistan.
Alan earned the Purple Heart and the Bronze Star for his actions on the battlefield. He is a true American hero, but Alan became my hero for the battle he fought day after day after day to get his life back.
Your call today and a gift of $19 a month can help provide our wounded warriors with desperately needed programs and services through Wounded Warrior Project.
I would encourage you to donate to the Wounded Warrior Project.
It's going to take a lot of us for a long time to help these young men and women.
Call or go online with a pledge of $19 a month and you'll receive this Wounded Warrior Project blanket.
Wounded Warrior Project, all I can really say is thank you. Thank you for being there and giving me something to achieve.
Say a prayer for peace.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
And we're back. This is the Warrior Catholic Show on conservativenationradio.org. If you want to be a part of the program, please call in at 718-305-7176. We just had a great first hour listening to Leah Jacobson tell us about the Guiding Star Project and her ideas based on Pope John Paul II of the New Feminism. So check out theguidingstarproject.com if you get a chance. But now we're going to move on to our next topic, and that is guns. That's right. And there's a lot to say about these things. And Obama was just out today with his, 23 executive actions, quote-unquote, executive actions. They're not executive orders anymore. They're executive actions that the president can take. So we're going to get into that. Again, if you want to be part of the program, 718-305-7176. You know, folks, I think, well, as far as me personally, I'm a little bit concerned and a lot bit angry at what I see going on in the nation today. We have now what I believe growing by leaps and bounds. We're seeing tyranny growing in our nation. And it's not just this little bit by little bit anymore. The president's come in. He's about to start his second term. And it's already, he's pushing it. He's sprinting ahead with his agenda, which boils down to tyranny. And I got to say, it is very disturbing to see what's going on in a nation that I love and in a nation that I know you love. My fellow conservatives, my fellow Catholics, Christians, whoever else is out there, whatever group that loves our country and loves freedom, we're seeing some serious issues here. The president got up there today after much ado of, well, we got to do something after the terrible incident in Sandy Hook, Connecticut, Sandy Hook Elementary School. We saw politicians, before the gun smoke had even settled, calling for tougher, stricter gun laws. Now, it's really disturbing to see that because they don't care. It looks like they don't care about what actually happened. It's, ooh, we have an incident. We can use it to advance our agenda. Maybe I'm being a little cynical, but that's the way it looks. You know, you have the Governor Cuomo from New York and Mayor Michael Bloomberg, the staunch gun suppressors from New York City who love to claim about how progressive they are. They were salivating over this. They were eating it up. And it's really disturbing to hear that, to see it happening. Politicians jumping over something before it is even settled down, before we even know what's happened, they see lots of deaths by a gun, and so now they can push for more gun control. It's sickening. It's really sickening. Call. What's your opinion? 718-305-7176. So Obama got up there today after, about a week of hemming and hawing. Our amazingly talented, and I mean that in all sarcasm possible, our amazingly talented Vice President Joe Biden had his little gun commission, and he was taking recommendations from all these different groups, and they love to say of different opinions. Yeah, like he really listened to what the NRA had to say. Like he really listened to what anyone that was trying to take a reasonable approach to it had to say. No, they want to tighten the gun laws. That's what they want to do, and they're going to use any means possible, even by putting on a dog and pony show of having some, commission where they have lots of different opinions. Obama and Biden and the left are not interested in other opinions. They're interested in ways that in any means possible that they can use to curtail our freedoms and advance their tyranny. And I'm using that word tyranny purposely because that's what it is. We've seen it through the HHS mandate. We see it through Obama's addiction to executive orders. I'm going to call it an executive order, not an executive action, because he thinks he's a dictator. He thinks he can get up there and tell us what to do just with the stroke of his pen. Yeah, I see on the news Democrats urging Obama to go around Congress with this whole debt ceiling thing, with the whole debt ceiling argument. Yeah, we're coming up against the debt ceiling again, and Congress is going to fight about it, but you have Democrats urging Obama to go around Congress through executive order. So he's addicted to executive orders. It's his ruling fiat. It's his way of imposing what he wants, and no one's calling him on it. No one in Congress cares, at least the Democrats and liberals don't. And the rhino Republicans in there don't care either. They're just trying to tread water and get people to like them, which is a surefire way to not win elections, as we just found out. By the way, if you want to be a part of the program, call in 718-305-716. We're talking about guns here and this tyranny now that's coming out of Washington. The president is addicted to executive orders. He wants to do 23 of them about gun control. Do you remember that every single time George Bush did anything, whether it was an executive order or tried to push for a certain law, there were cries of abuse of power, overstepping his bounds, coming from the left? They didn't stop whining about it. They lambasted him over this. And now Obama gets up there and uses executive orders pretty much as a dictator, and the left has no problem with it. It is utter hypocrisy. It is really disgusting. So he's issued these 23 executive orders, and I'm looking at an article from the Washington Times now. They call it executive actions. Oh, isn't that nice? We'll just switch the words around and make people feel better about it. It's still tyranny, whether it's an executive action or executive order. I don't care. So anyways, it says he's using the national debate over gun violence to push for further action on his health care law, including insisting on the kind of mental health coverage states must provide under their Medicaid programs. Man, he is all about that health care law, isn't he? He's going to be using that with their gun agenda as well. There's going to be his Obamacare is going to be in there too. Now, he wants to allow doctors to ask patients whether they have guns in their homes and will tell them they are able to report any threats of violence they hear to police. So if your doctor asks you, they're now legally allowed to ask you if you have a gun in your home. What does that have to do with whether you have a strep throat or a cold? Nothing. It's ridiculous. So doctors are now going to be asking you, so I noticed that You know, the results came back, and you have the flu. By the way, do you have a gun in your home? What? Are you serious? What does that have to do with anything? Now, also, if they perceive a threat of violence, they're going to go to the cops. They're going to go to the police. Is this not making your blood boil yet? Are you not getting frustrated? Because I'm hopping mad right now. So a doctor who, according to his interpretation, hears a threat of violence and asks you if you have a gun in your home, he's going to call the cops. Like some anti-gun doctor isn't going to hear violence in everything everything that patients tell him. It's screaming to be abused. This is a violation of our freedoms here. A doctor's there to make you feel better, not to be another nanny. That's pretty much what it's doing here. It's allowing doctors to be nannies. It's allowing them to come in and be another part of the state. Now, speaking of guns and everything, and you know, the military's got all their guns, but conservativenationradio.org is proud to welcome former U.S. Navy SEAL Carl Higbee to the Sound of Freedom with Hig and Resch, Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central. Carl's the well-known author of Battle on the Home Front and an outspoken critic of the Obama administration. I guess nobody told those guys in the White House not to mess around with Navy SEALs. Carl Higbee is a real patriot who's talked the talk and walked the walk. So listen to The Sound of Freedom with Carl Higbee and former Navy JAG attorney Guy Reschenthaler, Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. Now, we're talking about guns here and Obama's new executive order basket. He's throwing them all in there, 23 of them. If you want to be a part of the show, 718-305-7176. This is the Warrior Catholic Show on conservativenationradio.org. Now, he says, Obama, you know, you ever notice about the left, too, when they're in these talks about gun debates, Obama, Biden, and anyone else, when they're talking about it, they make it sound so reasonable. They make it sound like they're just trying to help. They're just trying to keep people safe. They're just trying to be responsible people here. And those unreasonable NRA people, all those gun fanatics, the moment they hear common sense proposals, they go ballistic in opposition. Did you notice that kind of rhetoric coming out? Because I sure did. Oh, they're just here to help out. They're just here to offer some common sense. They like to use that word common sense, like, because that alienates all of us who say, no, we're not going to go along with that. He's saying that you and I don't have common sense because we don't agree with them. That's exactly what that is. Oh, but it's for the children. Yeah, speaking of children, Obama signed these 23 executive orders surrounded by children. They brought in more props, and it's really sad to see. It's really sad to see the president using that imagery to advance his agenda. So he's surrounded by children. He's going over his executive quote-unquote actions, and he's surrounded by kids. They used this horrible tragedy in Connecticut. They used this terrible thing that happened to just push their agenda, and that's all it is. That's what we're seeing here. And we're coming up on a break, but when I come back, we're going to talk a little bit about we're going to talk a little bit more about what exactly those executive actions are, and we'll get into all of that here after the break. So don't go away. We will be right back.
Let me try.
Okay, just remember what I showed you.
Yep, there was a bunny who had one big ear and another big ear. They looped-a-looped.
made a bow, and the bunny hopped away. I did it!
Oh, good job, kiddo. Now let's tie your other shoe.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
It takes 12 years to create a graduate. It takes about the same time to create a dropout. The difference between a child becoming one or the other could be you. Studies prove that reading to a child regularly dramatically improves reading skills. And kids who read well by third grade are four times as likely to graduate. So United Way is calling for 1 million volunteers over the next 3 years. We're asking you to step up, make a pledge, tutor a child who needs help, mentor a kid who needs someone on their side. Volunteer to read to children. Make a difference. Because when a child advances, we all advance. Entire communities improve. The path to success or failure starts long before graduation day. And the difference between a graduate and a dropout could be you. Be a reader, tutor, or mentor. Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Take the pledge. Go to liveunited.org now. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
And we're back. This is the Warrior Catholic Show on conservativenationradio.org. I am Chris Ricketts, your host. And if you want to be a part of the program, because we're talking about a hot topic here, we're talking about guns, the number is 718-305-7176. I'd love to hear your opinions about everything that's been going on in the past couple of days here. It's been a huge buildup, the huge debate over guns and what Obama was going to do and what his proposals were going to be. And we all sat here waiting for it to happen, and it happened today. He came out with 23 executive orders that he wants to use, and he's throwing his health care law, Obamacare, in there as well, allowing doctors to ask patients if they have guns. Because that really has a lot to do with your bronchitis. I mean, I don't know about you, but anyway, so we're looking at some of these executive orders, and it looks like we have a call here. Let's get you on the air, and thank you for calling the Warrior Catholic Show. Hello.
Hi. I had a couple observations I wanted to make. I've been really troubled today by what happened with the president and his executive orders and or executive actions or whatever they're supposed to be called. It really bothered me that he used children as backdrops to make this speech. And it's just a really troubling day all around with what's happening. And the quandary I find myself in is because I am a conservative. Ideologically, that's where I fit in best, politically, I guess. But I'm also a Catholic, and my faith always informs my politics. And so since November 6th especially, I've really been trying to grapple with the two of them and try to see how they fit in together. And in some ways, it's becoming harder and harder because I see on the political front, I see a lot of conservatives who have a tendency to get so wrapped up in the Constitution and so wrapped up in the fact that, you know, our country is, I mean, it's going downhill. Tyranny is a good word for it that you used. That there's a tendency to forget that our rights don't come from the Constitution. Our rights come from God. And it's our Constitution, our founding documents, that protect those rights.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, when we have a president who is so clearly trying to take our rights away from us, whether it's on the religious freedom front, whether it's guns like it was today, you know, we have a right to protect ourselves as individuals with dignity. God gave us that right. And we have a president who is quite obviously not in agreement with that. So, again, I come back to, okay, well, how do I reconcile the two? And I'm a big fan of Pope John Paul II, and he grew up under tyranny. I mean, first it was the Nazis, and then it was the Russians, and so I'm drawn to his writings when he really talks about the fact that freedom, true freedom, comes from God. And therefore, man can't really take it away. And I think when we come to the gun debate and what's happening in our country with the fact that our right to protect ourselves is being limited, I think for Catholics and for Christians, it should trouble us. And I'm not saying, you know, don't go out and buy a gun. My husband wants to buy a gun. I'm all for that. I think we should take those steps. But I also think it should remind us that ultimately, it is God who protects us. And ultimately, it is he who is, for some reason, letting these things happen. And there's a lot of speculation as to why. Maybe he's teaching us a collective lesson as a country. Maybe he's kind of letting us feel the effects of the fact that we've gotten away from him. We've taken him out of public life. We've taken him out of our schools. We've taken him out of our institutions. And this is what happens. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know God's mind. But I think it's important for us to remember as Catholics and then as conservatives that freedom comes from Christ. And God is the one who ultimately has bestowed our rights. And therefore, no man can truly take them away. And that's just kind of where my head has been at. So I wanted to add those comments to your gun talk today.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you. Those are some great points there. And we'll definitely get into that. I appreciate the call. Thank you so much.
Thanks for letting me on.
No problem. All right. So that's a great point. And I've talked about that in the past. Where does freedom come from? And liberals will tell you, or at least maybe not outright, but the ideology from the Democrat Party is more and more that freedom is something that is granted by government. And we Christians here on the conservative side, no, we cannot go along with that. We cannot acknowledge that freedom comes from the government because freedom comes from God, as the last caller so eloquently pointed out, that it is our duty, it is the duty of government to uphold those freedoms that already exist without it, but to make sure that they are respected and brought around. And the freedom to protect ourselves is something that is very, very relevant. Now, the Catholic Church teaches respect for life, that life is sacred, and that all life should be held highly esteemed, precious. We cannot take life. But at the same time, when it comes to self-defense, and the Church teaches that we have the right to defend ourselves proportionately. If someone is trying to take our life, we are obligated, out of respect for our own life, to defend it. And that might mean taking the life of another. Now, does that mean to come up with a disproportionate response to a threatened action? No. If someone's trying to threaten you with a knife, you might hold them at bay with a gun, but do you necessarily need to kill that person? Maybe not in all circumstances, but anyways, no. That was a great point. That freedom here is a gift from God, and that it is government, and it is government's job to protect that, while recognizing that it is God that grants that freedom, not the government. But we see Obama doing just that. Usurping the role of God almost to deem what is good for us and what is not good for us. And he does that through his executive orders and from his liberal henchmen in Congress. Now, it is a gross affront to our freedoms what is happening here. And we see tyranny rising in our country, rising quicker now than ever. And we've got 4 more years with this administration, and his second term is starting off with this huge move, 23 executive orders. I'll just read off a few of them here to you. Again, this is from the same Washington Times article. He require federal agencies to make relevant data available to the federal background check system. Wants to improve incentives for states to share information with the background check system. He wants to propose a rule making to give law enforcement the ability to run a full background check on an individual before returning a seized gun. He wants to, again, they're going to launch a national safe and responsible gun ownership campaign. Because the NRA doesn't already do that at all. Nope, I don't know about you, but I've never heard of the NRA promoting gun safety and responsible gun ownership. They are those people are just wacko gun enthusiasts. What do they know? The government needs to come in and tell us how to safely handle our guns. Seriously? That is laughable. Look, I was in the Marine Corps, and I remember at boot camp, when we went to the firing line after a week of learning about safety rules and how to properly handle the weapon, they were nuts about gun safety. I mean, if the muzzle of your weapon was not either pointed up in the air or downrange, they would practically tackle you. It was nuts. You could get in serious trouble for the muzzle of your weapon pointing anywhere other than those two areas. And all throughout my time in the Marine Corps too, anytime I went to the range, anyone would get in serious trouble. Even if, you know, you had just checked your weapon and it was completely clear, not a round in the chamber, nothing, no magazine inserted, nothing. You still checked it every single time you handed it off and still kept that muzzle pointed up. Now, I know that's the Marine Corps, but the NRA also has plenty of training courses and gun safety courses. They do all kinds of – they have all kinds of programs that help this. But we need Obama to come in with an executive order to tell us how to be safe with our guns. Again, it's the government. They must know better than us. They know what's good for us. So they just need to do it. And they need to force us to do what's good for us, in their opinion. He also issued a presidential memorandum to require federal law enforcement to trace guns recovered in criminal investigations. Want to release a Department of Justice report analyzing information on lost and stolen guns. They are going to nominate a new director of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives. Now, there's a whole list here. You can see it online. Washington Times has it. I've seen it going around Facebook. All these things. You can see the whole list. I'm not going to read the entire thing to you, but you get the gist. It's another bit of Obama coming in to do what he thinks is good for us. Now, Fox News has the headline, Obama Gun Plan Meets Resistance from Republicans on Capitol Hill. I'm personally not going to hold my breath after the last debacle with that fiscal cliff nonsense that they did. That was absolutely ridiculous. They had maybe about not even half a spine in that one. So let's see what the Republicans have to do in the gun battle besides cave. Now, I'm not talking about all Republicans. There are some good conservatives in there, some good Tea Party candidates that are sitting House members, and that's great. But our Republican leadership in the House, John Boehner, it was really disappointing to see him get reelected as Speaker because he's a rhino. Him and these other guys that just like to tread water and try not to make waves. It really is sad to see what's happening here. So I'd like to see some support coming or some opposition coming from the good, staunch conservatives in the House and Senate. You know, we have them there. Now, we're coming up on a break here, but we're definitely going to continue talking about this when we come back. And I want to hear your opinion, too. Feel free to call in. We have our chat room open here. We have people hanging out and talking in the chat room. One of the comments here, as I was just saying, the NRA is all about gun safety. Absolutely. That's no question about it. We don't need the government coming in to tell us what to do. So after the break, we will talk more about the gun conversation. I have a whole bunch more news regarding that. So don't go away, and we'll be back right after this.
Good afternoon. For Talk Radio News Service, I'm Jeff Holtzman. President Obama called Wednesday for Congress to approve new bans on military-style assault weapons and high-capacity ammunition clips in response to a string of deadly mass shootings. At a White House event today, the president unveiled an expansive plan that includes legislation and 23 executive actions the White House said could be put into place immediately. The president asked Congress to reinstate and strengthen the assault weapons ban and to impose a 10-round limit on ammunition magazines. He also called on Congress to require criminal background checks for all gun sales.
If there's even one thing we can do to reduce this violence, if there's even one life that can be saved, then we've got an obligation to try.
The president also lobbied Congress to approve a law against so-called straw purchasing of guns, toughen gun trafficking laws, and authorize new funding for gun violence research. In all, the White House estimates that the president's requests would total in the neighborhood of $500 million in the coming fiscal year. Jeff Holtzman, Talk Radio News Service, Washington.
Let me try.
Okay, just remember what I showed you.
Yep, there was a bunny who had one big ear and another big ear. They looped-a-looped, made a bow, and the bunny hopped away. I did it!
Oh, good job, kiddo. Now let's tie your other shoe.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Foreclosure is hard on every member of the family, but your family is not alone. If you're struggling with your mortgage, there is help. To learn about the government's Making Home Affordable program, visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE to speak to a HUD-approved housing counselor. It's free of charge. Visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE today. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
And we're back. This is the Warrior Catholic Show on conservativenationradio.org. We are talking about the gun debate and everything that's happened today. If you want to be a part of the program, please call in at 718-305-7176. And, you know, this is quite a hot topic here, and I know that it's going to be discussed on all the news and talk shows throughout, you know, over the next week or so. I'm sure there's going to be a whole lot more, and I'm waiting to see hopefully a great response from the Republicans, although, like I said before, I'm not holding my breath based on their performance in the last huge debate debacle that we had over the fiscal cliff. So, but at least it says here on FoxNews.com that, you know, it was met with swift and stiff resistance by gun rights advocates and conservative lawmakers, setting up a tense debate that will be held on the airwaves, in congressional hearing rooms, and in communities across America. One thing that Obama was calling on Congress to do, they're going after what they're calling the assault rifles, the assault weapons, which is kind of interesting because aren't all guns, couldn't they all fall under that definition? I mean, hi, this rifle I have here is not an assault rifle, but this one is an assault rifle. I don't understand the distinction they're making with this wording here, and it, you know, they're just using it. It's very vague. They don't like semi-automatic weapons, which again falls under the term assault rifle. I don't think some of them don't even understand what a semi-automatic weapon really is. I'm sure there's some folks out there that would love to explain it to them. Call in at 718-305-7176. But yeah, they're going after the assault weapons. Because show me a gun that wouldn't qualify. I mean, the whole a gun is a tool, but it has a specific purpose. I mean, if you're a hunter, you're not trying to make friends with the deer. You want to eat it. So, it's one of those things where, yes, it has a specific purpose and a specific tool. Show the military, tell the military that they don't. Well, I'm sure, you know, they have assault weapons, of course. They're the military. But what about the Marine who's standing guard at post and has a pistol? Is that an assault weapon? Or some of them have shotguns, semi-automatic shotguns. What are they not? Is a pistol or a shotgun not an assault weapon because it's not a rifle? I mean, I don't know. I'm confused. What's going on here? So, anyways, they're trying to say that these laws here are going to prevent a shooting like the one at Sandy Hook. Now they don't like to think about any other factors, like, oh, say the fact that you know 5-year-olds can get on the Xbox and shoot people in the head, or you know that we have movies that glorify violence, you know. Coming soon, Buckets of Blood 2, rated G. I mean, seriously, we have those kind of things, but no, that has nothing to do with it, folks. It's all about the guns, you know, and that's really what it boggles my mind trying to think of this. Now, they get on here and we have to do something, all these knee-jerk reactions. I mean, Connecticut was a terrible thing that happened, but we had these knee-jerk reactions where everybody, you know, slamming the table, we have to do something right now, even though there's plenty of evidence that shows enacting tougher gun laws does not lead to less crime, but quite the opposite. You see it in Chicago, in England, in a lot of other U.S. cities. D.C., when D.C. enacted their tougher gun laws, the murder rate went up. Why? Because criminals don't follow the law. That's one of those things that liberals don't seem to understand, that, oh, I'm a liberal and I'm going to designate this a gun-free zone, and now I'm going to hug myself because I feel better. And then the criminals come in and say, ooh, a gun-free zone. Now I can bring my gun and rob everybody or shoot a bunch of people. I mean, this logic, it doesn't make sense to me. What do you think? 718-305-7176. It's the Warrior Catholic Show, conservativenationradio.org. I'm Chris Ricketts, the host. Now, when criminals see that all these, you know, great gun-free zones coming on, it's like, there's a target. And there's a target. Oh, and here's another target. It's ridiculous and it makes no sense. Law-abiding citizens are the ones that are being demonized here. They're the ones that are being put at risk. And liberals don't care about the facts. It's all about the agenda. It's all about moving that ideology forward, regardless of whether or not it works. And now, like I was talking about earlier, he's bringing in doctors to help deal with the guns. You know, he wants to make sure that doctors can now ask us. And that, again, makes no sense. Doctors are becoming part of the nanny state. Because liberals, they have this opinion of us like we're completely stupid. Like, we are the ones that are wrong and backwards, and we need them to tell us, to show us, either through their shining example of transparent government or by forcing a law on us. Now, that rascally rabbit, Charlie Rangel, he was on today on MSNBC, and he has a quote. He says, he was talking about, they're talking about gun control, of course. And his quote is, he says, New York is different and more progressive than a lot of areas in other states. And some of the southern areas have cultures that we have to overcome. Really? Yep, that's right, all you southerners. It says here, the comment on the webpage here, what he's really saying is, racist rednecks stop the South from passing anti-gun laws. Yeah. So you hear that, Southerners? Your cultures need to be overcome by the left because it's just too inconvenient for what they want to do. All you gun-toting, Bible-clinging, religious nuts down South, that's right. We need Charlie Rangel here to come in and show us all how to overcome our culture. How, if someone said that about African Americans, Charlie Rangel would be fit to be tied. It would be, he'd be going apoplectic. He would be inconsolable. I mean, the poor man, he'd be crying all over the place. It'd be ridiculous. But no, these liberals think that they can come in and overcome our cultures. I don't know about you, but that's pretty insulting. I'm offended. I live in Virginia. Now, I will admit I'm from New Jersey, but I developed some good sense and moved out of there as soon as I could. I haven't been back since. So here we have Charlie Rangel, who apparently has a lot to say, and he's insulting Southern cultures, those darn rednecks and their guns. And don't let go of them, folks. I mean, let me tell you. Now, there's another anti-gun move coming out, and this is from Breitbart. It's saying here that a House bill would ban all internet ammunition sales because anytime they try to regulate the internet, it works perfectly. It's a model of government efficiency here. He's saying, you know, illegal online sales of weapons and ammunitions, of course, should be stopped, though the practice isn't nearly as prevalent as the left would have you believe. That's funny. We got, oh my gosh, we got to do something. All these people are out there online selling Uzis and machine guns and bazookas and maybe some anti-tank mines. I'm exaggerating a little bit, folks, but you know, you get the picture. So, you know, but yeah, of course, illegal sales online, we should do something about. Or they, you know, it's illegal, so we shouldn't make sure that it's not happening. But the progressives are also looking to ban legal online sales through a bevy of new gun control resolutions, including H.R. 142, which would ban internet or mail order ammunition purchases. So you can't even go buy some ammo online anymore from a detailer. You know, it's pretty ridiculous. I don't even... They're going after everything here. Now, by the way, we conservatives need to band together on this. And there's strength in conservatism, which is why we're all here. And Brenda Ward has been with conservativenationradio.org since the very beginning. And thankfully, she's still here. Well, you know, maybe that's why Hillary Clinton has been incommunicado these last few weeks. Michelle Bachmann, Sarah Palin, and Nikki Haley have nothing on Brenda. Women Patriots with Brenda Ward, Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, is the place to hear from real women who are real conservatives. So let your voice be heard. Incidentally, conservative guys are welcome too. Women Patriots with Brenda Ward on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. Excuse me. Been getting over the bug that's going around, although I didn't have the flu. Excuse me again. Anyway, so they're looking to ban internet sales of ammo. You know, that's pretty steep. It says here on the Breitbart article, remember the Stop Online Piracy Act and the Protect Intellectual Property Act, the bills that ham-handedly sought to rein in rampant online property theft for profit? Stolen music and movies being sold on the web is a cost that the creators of these works billions of dollars each year, and these vastly overreaching bills were an attempt to address it. So now they're going after the ammo, too. And, you know, again, when liberals, they love to write laws, and they like to try to, you know, declare, make decrees, and they like to force their agenda, and they like to do all these things. But in the end, half the time, it makes the situation worse. And then the liberals see that things are getting worse. So then instead of backtracking and admitting that they were wrong, oh, no, 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 it was those darn Republicans, you know, or something like that. And now we need more laws. So we've got all these gun restrictions coming out, and it's going to be get worse before it gets any better. We're coming up on a break here, but when we come back, I want to tell you about some states that are not going to have it. They are going to be standing up and going against everything that Obama and the left is trying to do. And it's pretty cool. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
Go, Caleb!
Come on, hit a homer, Jesse!
Let's go, guys!
Hey, did you guys know that kids who play sports earn more money when they grow up?
Of course. I knew that.
Hey, did you guys know that kids who read books have a bigger vocabulary?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. Wow, jinx. Did you guys know that friendly children have more friends?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's true. I knew that. Did you guys know that winter babies are better at music?
Everyone knows that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, pretty obvious.
Yeah.
Obvious. Oh, hey, guys, did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
Huh, I didn't know that.
I'm pretty sure I knew that. I'm pretty sure you didn't.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
And we're back. This is the Warrior Catholic Show on conservativenationradio.org. I am Chris Ricketts, your host. And if you want to be a part of the show, please call in at 718-305-7176. We've been talking about all the gun bans coming in or about to come in, Obama's 23 executive orders, and urging the Congress to ban quote-unquote assault weapons. And of and they don't like the amount of rounds that can fit into certain magazines, too. They want to limit it to 10 rounds because you don't need more than 10 rounds to kill a deer. I forget who said that, but I know someone out there was saying that. So all those 30-round magazines that you have out there for your AR-15, sorry, they're going to be – well, they want them to be illegal anyway. So anyways, I mentioned before the break about a couple states that are not going to stand for it. And these are just three that I know. Texas, Wyoming, and Tennessee, and I'm sure there's more out there, but at least these are the ones that I found right now. This is great. This is from 1200 News Radio, WOAI, their website. Texas proposal, jail any federal officials trying to enforce new gun restrictions in the state. Wow. Between you and me, I want to move to Texas. That I'm wiping away a tear of just happiness. It's beautiful. So a Texas lawmaker says he plans to file the Firearms Protection Act, which would make any federal laws that may be passed by Congress or imposed by presidential order, which would ban or restrict ownership of semi-automatic firearms or limit the size of gun magazines, illegal in the state. This is Republican Representative Steve Toth. He says his measure also calls for felony criminal charges to be filed against any federal official who tries to enforce the rule in the state. Oh, God bless Texas. That is some good stuff right there. Oh, man. It says here, if a federal official comes into the state of Texas to enforce the federal executive order, that person is subject to criminal prosecution. That is a thing of beauty. Oh, man, I hope that goes through. I hope they're able to pass that. They have a similar thing in Wyoming. I'm bringing it up here. And they also want to this is similar to Tennessee. Oh, it looks like Montana, too. The Firearms Freedom Act, again, they want to they're saying that any gun made, sold, and kept within the state of Wyoming is not subject to federal gun control laws. That means no registration. Wyoming did, however, go further than the other states. They said any state or federal official who tries to enforce any federal firearm law regarding a firearm made, sold, and kept in Wyoming could face a $2,000 fine and 2 years in prison. That's pretty cool, too. So they're trying, this is a sovereign state saying if it's a gun that is made, sold, and kept within the state of Wyoming, the feds can stay out. We don't want it. Now, again, it's a thing of beauty. Any federal official that comes in, a $2,000 fine and 2 years in prison. I love it. These states are coming in. Tennessee and Montana. I'll have to check out the Montana one later. But I see in Tennessee, Legislators have started a bill that would exempt all firearms made in Tennessee from federal gun laws if the weapons were intended to remain in Tennessee. It's extremely similar to the new gun law already signed into law in Montana. Utah and other states intend to follow with a similar bill. It's a great way to stop the federal government from doing any more gun control. Now, this is amazing. These sovereign states who are within their own rights to govern their states as they see fit, they're not talking about anything else. They're talking about what happens within their own borders. They're saying, okay, federal government, this is in our state, and you're going to stay out. If you have an opinion on this, love to hear it. 718-305-7176. It's absolutely beautiful. These states are stepping up. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw more action like this at the state level coming up in the next few weeks as the federal government stumbles over itself trying to get it together with their anti-gun laws. And, you know, it's going to form an alliance of states that are going to be legally challenging the federal government on this issue. And I'm living in Virginia, and I really hope – I haven't seen too much yet, but I really hope that they're going to hop on board with that. Because, again, this is our right to bear arms. It is the Second Amendment, and Obama does not have any authority to go over or around the Constitution. It is illegal for him to do so. Now, the NRA, of course, has vowed to stand and fight. They've launched their Stand and Fight campaign. That's NRAstandandfight.com, so go check that out. And they're looking for the fight of the century, is what they said. They're going to be up there, and they're going to be fighting it because they are a responsible organization. They have many members. In fact, their members grew 250,000 in about a month. Last month, and they are a great organization. I am a member, and I know lots of other fellow conservatives are members as well. And every time the left dumps on the NRA, they're dumping on us. They're telling us that, you know, we're backwards. We don't know what's going on. And as Charlie Rangel said, our cultures and our customs need to be they need to be overridden, apparently. So I'm glad the NRA is going to be taking up the fight here and doing something that, can combat the left. Now, of course, plenty of pundits are all over this. Bob Schieffer, I'm sorry, I'm saying that wrong. It says here on newsbusters.org, he topped Chris Matthews during CBS News special coverage of President Obama's gun control press conference on Wednesday. He became the worst caricature of a foaming-at-the-mouth cheerleader for the chief executive. He lauded, it said, one of the best speeches I've ever heard him deliver, talking about Obama. And he compared Obama's new gun control agenda to Lyndon Johnson's push for civil rights legislation in the 1960s. Do you see a connection between gun control and civil rights legislation? Me neither. That's rather ridiculous. Oh, man. But it gets better. Don't worry. All right. He continues. Let's remember, there was considerable opposition when Lyndon Johnson went to the Congress and presented some of the most comprehensive civil rights legislation in the history of this country. He also goes on, what happened in Newtown was probably the worst day in this country's history since 9/11. We found Osama bin Laden. We tracked him down. We changed the way that we dealt with that problem. Surely finding Osama bin Laden, surely passing civil rights legislation, as Lyndon Johnson was able to do, and before that, surely defeating the Nazis, was a much more formidable task than taking on the gun lobby. Look at that, folks. Now we're Nazis. Bob Schieffer is saying taking on the Nazis is about the same as taking on the gun lobby. Really? Last time I checked, the gun lobby wasn't running concentration camps. And it's kind of funny that he mentions that, because it was the Nazi party that disarmed the German people before brutally moving in to take it over. But I digress. So the left is, I mean, Obama's got his cheerleaders out there. And it's kind of funny, you know, Chris Matthews, the famous chill running up the leg comment, that was quite a moment. You know, we still gleefully make fun of it today. And now this guy, oh, it's the greatest speech I've ever heard. And taking on the Nazis, you know, we could take on those gun people. Yeah, maybe him and Charlie Rangel should have a little, you know, meeting or something. They could pat each other on the back. So, you know, they're all in all said, folks, and, you know, we've got about 5 minutes left here. Our freedom as Americans is under attack. We see tyranny growing. We see the Obama administration and the liberals aggressively moving to promote their liberal agenda. And it's at this point now, we have states that are sectioning themselves off and refusing to cooperate with federal law. And I applaud that. You know, it's amazing that it's coming to this and Obama is just about to start his second term. So with all of this said, folks, keep your ear to the rail. Keep listening here at conservativenationradio.org. And speaking of which, tomorrow we have a great show coming up, The Sound of Freedom with Higby and Resch and Carl Higby, the former Navy SEAL, Guy Reschenthaler, the former Navy JAG officer. You know, they are going to have some things to say. You know, they're going to have some opinions to opine. So please make sure you're back here tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And folks, the last thing I'd want to say is, you know, we need to pray. And it's very cliche to say that. And maybe I'll talk another time about Christian cliches, but it's still applicable. You know, the caller earlier was talking about freedom coming from God and that it's man's responsibility to uphold that. And the government doesn't bestow freedom on us. We already have it. And I highly encourage you to whip out the rosary beads, go to Mass tomorrow morning and pray for our country, because it is all God inspired the founders to create this nation. And it is God that is going to give us the graces and the inspiration to fight back the forces of tyranny that are rising against us. So my fellow conservatives, my fellow patriots, my fellow Catholics, it's been great talking to you tonight. And I wish you all the best and God bless you. And good night. Thank you so much for listening.